live from the Dachshund Rescue Center in Brooklyn, New York. It's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, author, statesman, smooth talker, the first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who's always ready to help his fellow man, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, you ready for it? Marksman, sculptor, daredevil. Ooh. The seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain. A man who taught Chuck Berry how to duck step. The youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers. And the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
I just want to make it clear that I had no real association with Chuck Berry. Other than listening to his music.
He weren't chief of security at Berry Park?
No. And then the other guy, every time you hear that song, Tequila, which had nothing to do with Chuck Berry.
Pee Wee Irvin.
Thinking of the big shoe dance.
Pee Wee Irvin.
Yeah. That guy's dead, I think, isn't he?
Paul Rubens?
Yeah. Pretty sure he's on the dead list.
He might be. We'll have to do another show about who's dead and who's not one of these days.
Right. Well, I tell you who is dead is Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne croaked?
Ozzy Osbourne's dead as a hammer.
When did that happen? Just recent?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Very recently.
Huh. Did you kill him?
No. Rick.
He was with what? AC?
There were a lot of things that didn't kill Ozzy Osbourne.
And you were one of them.
And I think old age finally got him.
He was like, it's like AC/DC, right?
He's like 76 years old.
He's the lead singer for them.
Are you crazy?
No.
He's Black Sabbath.
Oh, whatever.
Good Lord, War Pigs. Here we go. Paranoid.
War Pigs.
And then he went out, you know, and did his own thing, just a solo career. Just Ozzy Osbourne, the Blizzard of Oz. Come on, man.
And then he did like a
Crazy Train
TV show with his like family, right?
Yeah.
And it was a Crazy Train, too.
Well, people were like, oh my God, he's still alive. Look what drugs do to you.
It's so interesting to me to see. When what celebrity thinks that their life is worth a
TV
reality
show?
Yeah.
Oh, well, like, what do you mean?
Danny Bonaducci? Yeah, whatever.
Did he have a reality TV show?
He would like to.
Oh, I'm sure he'd like to, but he didn't, I don't think.
We're talking about one of the Partridge Family kids.
Oh, you got to be, you know, reasonably famous to get it. Like say, Jonah White famous.
Donnie Bonaducci, he had like one of those troubled lives as an adult that he didn't make a transition from child star to adult star.
No, he did not. And now he does like, oh, these horrible like celebrity boxing matches. And he does like...
Where he like boxes Tonya Harding.
Well, yeah, she's in the same classification now. Who was the kid from...
Rodney Allen Rippey?
No, not Rodney Allen Rippey.
Oh, you're talking about the show where Mr. Drummond adopted those two kids.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not the little one. It's the...
The bigger one, Todd Bridges.
Todd Bridges. He had another one of those troubled lives. Yeah.
Well, so did the girl on that show.
Oh, yeah, she ended up dying of a drug overdose.
I think she had a tough life with Dana Plato, I think.
Yeah, I think she was like ended up in Playboy and then shortly after that died of a drug overdose.
You see how lucky we are to have lived lives of anonymity up until this point.
I know.
Until the podcast famous.
Well, yeah, and that's just limited until Trump shuts us down.
Like he shut down. What was the late night TV show they're all saying he shut down?
Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
And that was but he came out and said that he's also Jimmy Kimmel and...
he's going to shut them down too.
Jimmy Fallon are next.
Yeah. Although he didn't have anything to do with it. I don't think. I think it was just money. The problem is that nobody watches TV anymore.
Oh. That's what it is. They all listen to podcasts.
That's right.
This is where it's at, man.
Stephen Colbert should get him a podcast.
Well, I think that's what the redheaded guy...
Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, that's what he did.
Went to podcast.
Right.
Hey, I'm telling you, making it...
And look how he's doing.
He just wishes he was a guest on the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour.
He's just running parallel with us right now.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He was on top, and now he's down here with the... You know, the problem is that everybody has a podcast.
Yeah. Not everybody has a good one.
Right, but it's getting down to where I think really the only people listening to this one are you and me.
And 48 others.
Wow, now you're just bragging.
And how much we appreciate every loyal listener. And by the way, I got a thing from my ex-next-door neighbor lady who said that she did dig the ditches correctly for her husband.
Okay, so...
Which we mentioned in the last podcast, so
we've been bona fide.
Yeah, exactly.
I was wanting to talk, just briefly, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
I went on a trip recently... to Chicago.
The Windy City.
Yeah.
City of big shoulders.
That's it. Went there.
Yeah.
Did you say big shoulders or big sewers? What'd you say?
Well, both. The shoulders.
Okay. And I will say this. Chicago really is a fantastic major city.
It's a pretty good big city. I've been to Chicago many times.
You go traipsing up and down.
Other than the Cubs.
What I like about the way Chicago's laid out is they got like a main drag. Michigan Avenue.
The Magnificent Mile.
Magnificent Mile. You know, I mean, that's pretty cool to have a city that's set up that way. And then, you know, like a couple of blocks over, they got a big giant park on the lakefront, you know.
Well,
it's laid out well.
Burning the old one.
Oh, that helped get rid of a lot of stuff they didn't
I was going to say,
a lot of stuff they didn't need.
You get to start over and make it the way you want it. There's a lot of cities that would be improved by burning them and starting over.
Settled down. The next big city that has a fire is...
They'll blame us.
Rick Ringhausen. He was talking about burning down cities. You make it sound like you're the invading horde in Europe. We're just coming in and pillage and burn down the whole city.
And burn it and build it back.
But the problem was with those old cities.
Like the $6 million man.
Yeah, you know, you had the Boston fire, you had the New York fire, you had the Chicago fire. Most early big cities
had a big
burned
fire.
Up. Yeah. Because they were all made of wood.
San Francisco,
a giant fire started by the earthquake. But they had all wooden buildings. And so they all burned up and they came back and built with brick. So the big bad wolf couldn't blow them down.
Dang it.
But. You get a few cities that have, you know, like skyscrapers and big glass buildings and stuff like that. And then squeezed in here down low are a few of these old buildings, you know, like Providence, Rhode Island is that way. Hartford, Connecticut is that way. You know, some of these cities that didn't have a fire that destroyed every single thing in it.
Has that problem.
Yeah, how to get it's rid kind of an anomaly.
Because the person that owns that little house in the middle of nowhere is like Bugs Bunny when they were going to build that freeway.
Right, yeah.
And they just can't get rid of him. They have to build around him.
But, you know, eventually a lot of those places become such expensive real estate
that no one can afford them.
Well, the people who own them are enticed into, you're telling me you're going to pay me $40 million for this lot.
Sold! So tell me about your Chicago adventure.
Okay, so I'm... You know, walking up and down, we went from one end of Michigan Avenue to the other.
How long of a walk was that?
I don't know. I didn't write it down.
Hey!
This magnificent mile. Well, it'd be two because I walked up and came back. Okay. But anyway, along the way...
When you say we...
Me and my magnificent wife.
All right. Good boy. Go ahead.
She was pushing me in my chair. There were four stores that had lines going out the door and down the block.
Well, first off, knowing your wife, as I know your wife, who is one of the most accomplished shoppers that I've ever met in my life, I'm guessing she knew which stores on Magnificent Mile to go to.
She does, but It has nothing to do with these ones that had lines in.
Oh, okay. So she was bucking the crowd.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Those are the lines for the commoners. She's at a different level when it comes to shopping, okay?
I understand that.
She's Olympic level. Anyway, you had a line going out the door and around the block for the world's largest coffee shop. It is the flagship of their fleet.
Starbucks.
5 stories tall. And they still couldn't cram everybody in it.
But, you know, my experience of Chicago and pretty much every other big city I've gone to, there's a Starbucks on every single block.
You betcha.
I mean, why would you wait in line to go into that one?
I can't figure it out.
I mean, when you could walk around the corner and go to Starbucks. And they have the exact same things in them, don't they?
Yeah.
Isn't pretty much just coffee and flavorings?
I think so.
And a couple
and
of...
maybe a donut.
Bagel.
If you get there early.
Yeah, I guess. And people lined up for that.
Around the block. 5-story tall. And it smelled great. Walking by, you could really smell the coffee.
Sorry I'm late for work, boss. I just stopped by Starbucks and wait in line. There's one in the lobby.
Exactly. So, saw that. That was one line. Then down towards the other end, there's another line. Not as long. But still, I can't understand why they had it. And it was a store just called Nutella.
Peanut butter store?
Well, it's not peanut butter. It's
peanut butter substitute.
It's like a hazelnut, isn't it? That was made out of or something?
I've never eaten Nutella in my life.
Nor have I. But there are people waiting in line to eat the stuff.
Again,
you can go to Walmart and buy Nutella.
You can buy it like Walgreens, I think.
Anywhere. Anywhere.
And there's a Walgreens on every corner in Chicago, pretty much, too. I mean, there's a jillion places you could buy Nutella if you desperately wanted it.
But the problem was, I didn't want to wait in line to get in and find out what made it so special.
Well, I don't blame you.
Because I didn't have a burning desire to eat or wear anything associated with Nutella.
Okay.
So that's 2 of the 4.
Let me take a stab at one of the next ones. The Lego store.
No, Legos are... Yeah, that's gone cold.
Lego store, like Legoland?
I don't know.
They got a big one in Chicago.
Yeah, they do, but there's no line.
Been there in Chicago Place.
No line. You didn't have to wait in line. You want to go play with Legos? Jump right in. But if you want to go to Pop Art, the Japanese little toy store modeled after the Japanese cartoons that are popular somewhere on the worldwide interweb.
Like manga or anime.
Yeah, all that stuff. They got a store there, caters just to that. And there was a line like you wouldn't believe to get in there and buy little objects associated with manga, anime, whatever. Yeah. It's a world that I am not a part of, Rick.
Yowza. Well, yeah, because you're not 20.
I think you got to go younger than that.
14.
Maybe something like that.
And then you said there were 4.
The biggest line of all was to get into the Harry Potter store.
Isn't that a bygone thing also?
No.
There hasn't been a Harry Potter movie in years.
That's right. But the books are still popular. Watching the reruns still popular. And now they're coming out with a new Harry Potter series that they're going to have a new Harry Potter kid. It's all over the internet. New actor playing the Harry Potter as a small child.
You're kidding.
And they're reviving the series and going through different antics and things that Harry Potter was involved in while he was a student at Hogwarts.
So I'm guessing that someone decided that particular cow wasn't milked dry yet.
That is
correct.
Needed
to grab another teat and squeeze.
And squeeze they have, and they're lining up down the street for magic.
Wow.
Here's what blows my mind. It's not all kids in this line waiting to get into the store. There were like adults wearing wizard robes.
Wow.
I think they need therapy.
I was going to ask where you got yours. Yours is in the closet, isn't it?
Along with other things.
Yeah. You're a closeted wizard. Yeah, so is Harry Potter. Didn't he live in the closet?
He did live in the closet under the stairs.
So did you go to any Broadway shows when you were in, well, not Broadway, but whatever Chicago's theater district is? Did you go to any shows there?
No, no.
Really?
No.
Did you go to any baseball games while you were there?
Let's see. No.
How about?
But there was a series of town, because as you're walking around, there's a lot of people in their Cubs outfits.
Oh, that Cubs.
Yeah. They were playing the Red Sox while we were in town.
Thank God in heaven the new Pope is a White Sox fan.
Yeah, that kind of shut that down a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
Cool their jets.
Yeah, the very
He's from Chicago. He's a White Sox fan.
Cubs fan. Really? Well, originally on Wrigley Field had a thing on their marquee that said, "New Pope, and he's a Cubs fan." And then his brother said, "No,
take
he's
it down.
Not.
Yeah.
He's not."
Take that
and
down.
Since that time, the Pope, new Pope, has had his picture taken wearing White Sox gear.
Wow.
I mean, whoever manages the White Sox has to be going,
"Oh,
they're going to Catholic Church lighting candles now."
And I don't know if you've seen, it's become a phenomenon that somebody looked up where the Pope grew up in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
And now his childhood home has become like a shrine.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also saw on the internet where they say that he's completed his first miracle.
What, is the White Sox going to win?
No, it was on the internet. Pope completes first miracle.
Yeah, well, it takes three to be a saint. We had talked about being Pope when he was elected. Remember, we did a Pope show?
Yeah.
You know, being Pope or president, let's say you got elected president of the United States, you. You know, there's no erasing all this stuff you did as a child. Like, if you're Pope, you know, you went through your teens and your younger days. I mean, there's no way. I mean, the Pope's not a saint yet. He wasn't a saint then. I'm sure he did things that he looks back and goes, "Oh, my God, they're interviewing my next-door neighbor."
Donald Trump's a saint. He'll tell you that.
He's got three more miracles to perform. But I'm saying, you know, that seems to me like a problem. You know, all the other popes we've had, you know, Pope John or John Paul and all of them, you know, German Pope, you really didn't give any thought to where they grew up. Pope Ratzinger was a little German boy someplace. Did you even think about it? But now you got a Pope from Chicago. And all the people that he grew up around are still hanging around there. Hey, what do you know about the Pope? Well, what do I know about the Pope?
I remember we were writing graffiti on his wall, on his train car in Chicago.
We never thought he'd grow up to be Pope. So what did you
Somebody's going to come out of the woodwork. Why straighten him out? He was on the wrong path, and I saved straight.
Uh-huh. So what did you do in Chicago? Did you actually go anywhere or do anything, or did you just walk up and down window shopping and looking at people?
We drove up to visit with my oldest daughter. She was in town for an event, and so we thought, well, we'll go up there and spend some time with her.
She doesn't even live in Chicago.
And she flew into Chicago for an event.
Oh. Okay. Was it like a Lego tournament? Did you take her down and buy Harry Potter gear for her?
Oh, yeah.
She didn't go to a baseball game. She didn't go to no shows. She didn't buy nothing. You're like the tourist that they don't want.
That's where you're wrong. All we did up there was, while we were there, was eat and go to...
I thought you were going to say spend money.
Yeah, well, we did that.
Well, then they would want you as a... tourist. Did you go to the deep dish pizza place?
You betcha.
Did you?
Gino's East.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you have deep dish pizza?
Absolutely.
Or are you one of those guys that'll go into a restaurant that specializes in something and then order...
I'll have some shrimp. Yeah. No, I don't do that. If I go to a place that specializes in something, I'm getting what they specialize in.
Bring it on.
Right.
If I go to Boston, I'm eating clam chowder.
I was going
to
say baked beans.
Or baked beans. Boston baked beans, clam chowder. Do you know that Boston, that there was a time when they had a molasses factory that blew up and killed like 20 people in a flood of molasses.
They died from
molasses sweeping them away.
Drowning in molasses?
Yeah. Great molasses. The Great Molasses Flood of Boston. You got a phone? Look that up.
Okay.
It just seems to me, you know. Somebody says, okay.
Well, my grandfather died in the Great Molasses Flood of 92.
I mean, what did he... You weren't fast enough to outrun molasses? I'm guessing
How big of a vat of molasses did they have?
Must have been a big one. I'm guessing molasses is a lot more viscous when it's hot, when you got a giant silo full of hot molasses. And then it's not like, you know, when you put it in the refrigerator.
Name of a song? Oh, that was Hot Smoke and Sassafras. Right?
No, that was Hot Stuff by the Rolling Stones.
No. Because, I don't know what the flowability or viscosity of molasses is in an heated state. That's a darn good question. You're going to look up molasses?
I'm about to look up the Great Molasses Fire. Talk about your Chicago trip a little bit.
I already did.
Well, it wasn't much of a trip.
We did do a river walk. You ever walk down the...
Isn't that San Diego?
Walk down the river walk in Chicago. They reinvented themselves in that particular department.
Did they color the river?
Chicago River, you know, they kind of used it as a sewer for years and just dumped everything in it. And now they're making it kind of a showcase. And they've got the amount of boat traffic on the Chicago River, you know, going through downtown is incredible. I mean, it's just like... The traffic on the river is as dense as the traffic on the street. The number of boats going up down through there. You can take these architectural tours and boat rides and pleasure rides and pedal boats and kayaks. You can't believe the number of kayaks on the Chicago River.
No kidding.
It blows your mind.
See, the city of St. Louis needs to take a page out of this. They got a great river running right down its
most famous river in the United States.
And they
of
do
America.
Nothing with it.
They distance themselves from the river. They have a wall in front of the river, and there's zero connectivity.
Okay. I've got information now on the molasses flood.
Tell us about it, Rick.
And it's not just. It's the Great Molasses Flood.
Great Molasses.
To distinguish it
from the lesser molasses floods.
On January 15th of 1919, a 58-foot tall, 98-foot diameter molasses storage tank in Boston's North End burst, releasing 2.3 million gallons of molasses into the streets. The wave of sticky, dark brown syrup reached speeds of 35 miles per hour, forming a 15-foot deep, 100-yard-wide tidal wave of molasses that destroyed everything in its path.
Like lava.
And the disaster, known as the Boston Molasses Disaster, to distinguish it from other cities right. that have had molasses disasters, killed 21 people, ranging in age from 10 to 78, and seriously injured another 150.
Want to see my molasses burn? okay.
Grandpa was killed in a molasses flood.
Okay, now this brings up another question. How do you clean up 2 million gallons of molasses in downtown Boston?
Think about the times you've poured syrup on your pancakes and spilled a little on the counter.
It gets everywhere.
It's impossible to get off. That'd be a good question. I'm sure the History Channel has something that says how they cleaned it up.
Okay. When I was in Chicago, and you know, you have the hotel breakfast.
Yeah. Did they have pancakes?
No, they had the waffle maker that you flip over. You know, and they had the pre-measured waffle mix that you love to eat raw.
Yeah, yeah.
But they had the regular waffle maker there. And right next to it, they had one that you could make 4 mini waffles in it. Like, if you didn't want a whole giant waffle, you could just pour the batter into, just one of them. Or you could pour batter into 2 of them.
Yeah.
Or you could pour batter into 3 of them.
Yeah.
Or
if you're crazy,
you could pour batter into all four mini waffles and make four mini waffles and stack them up. Pour syrup all over.
Did you do that?
I did both. I had the big waffle and I had a stack of little mini waffles.
Okay, here's some more information on the molasses. I'm just fascinated by this molasses disaster.
And molasses doesn't even taste as good as syrup.
I know. First to the scene were 116 cadets from the U.S. Nantucket training ship in Boston Harbor.
Wait a minute. How many?
116 cadets.
There were 116 men from Nantucket. Go on.
And they scooped up molasses in a bucket. The cadets ran several blocks toward the accident and entered a knee-deep flood of molasses to pull out survivors, while others worked to keep curious onlookers from getting in the way.
Get out of that molasses, kid! Don't let me catch you in there again!
In the wake of the accident, 119 residents brought a lawsuit against the United States Industrial Alcohol Company, which was making the molasses. Cleanup crews. Here's cleanup information.
What are they? Alcohol company making molasses. Is molasses used in some kind of an alcoholic beverage?
No, I get the feeling that this was during Prohibition. That they were branched into something else.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because they used the alcohol and munitions during that time. Okay. Cleanup crews use salt water from a fireboat to wash away the molasses and sand to absorb it, and the harbor was brown with molasses until summer. The cleanup in the immediate area took weeks, with several hundred people contributing to the effort. It took longer to clean the rest of Greater Boston and its suburbs because they tracked molasses all over everywhere.
There you go.
Rescue workers, cleanup crews, and sightseers had tracked molasses through the streets and spread it to the subway platforms, seats inside the trains, streetcars, telephone booths and homes, and countless other places.
Now, did this have like some kind of a secondary effect, like it attracted insects from around the world, and you know they had the great fly plague of Boston following the...
Almost after. It said, for a while, being from Boston was synonymous with being sticky.
There you go. That would kind of hurt the tourist trade, too, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And the nice thing is, you know, it's over 100 years ago, so you can have,
talk about
you
now.
Can have lighthearted conversation without dwelling on the fact that 100 people were
people
killed died. Or however many people were
22,
killed.
22, you said earlier.
22 people. 150 injured.
If you're being honest or not. I mean... Basically, everybody that was alive on the planet is dead now at that time.
Mostly.
There might be a couple holdouts.
Yeah. Not that many. 19, yeah, probably. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I got to tell you, I went to down to be a speaker at an event. I'm not going to say where, but it was like an organization.
And folks, it started with, "Hi, my name is Alan."
No, not that. I was a guest speaker talking about the place where I work. But when I was there and I'm at the door and the guy that invited me to be that month's speaker, you know, has introduced me to different ones as they were coming in. And he said, "And this is Art Johnson," you know, just fictitious name. "Art is 102 years old." And I kind of gave the, I thought he was joking. And Art, you know, chimes in. He says, "Well, not until next month I'll be 102. I thought, you know, he was like maybe 80 or something. He did not look 102 years old. And he drove himself to the event.
Yeah.
And this guy was, I mean, he was still with it. At 102.
When you're not at,
and he's going out at
60.
Night. And, right. I'm like, wow, I'll never make it that far.
What do you think's the oldest you live to be?
The oldest I'll live to be? I'm already past it. I didn't think I'd get this far.
I didn't think I'd get this far either. I always said I was going to die at age 57, and I didn't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
You should have talked to me. I could have helped you. I could have made your dream come true. I don't know. I guess I think...
Do you think you live to be 100?
Do I think I'll live to be 100? I don't think so.
I don't see any way I make it to 100.
And you're definitely not. But I think I could come close, probably. I bet I'd make it into the 80s. Mom and Dad made it beyond that.
Almost 90.
Dad's, and they're still counting.
Yeah, Dad's like that 100-year-old guy you talked to. 90 years old. Well, not yet.
Yeah. So what'd you do today? Well, I was out shredding in the orchard, and then after that I fed the hogs, and then after that I... And now I'm going to go out and get drunk. If you live to be 102 years old, why wouldn't you just get drunk every day?
Smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, do it all.
Yeah.
Smoke weed. Just do it all.
At what point?
Nothing up to that point's killed you.
Now, back in your day, when your younger day, you smoked cigarettes.
Yeah, I did.
And Suzanne, my wife, smoked
loved
cigarettes,
it.
Quit. Now, at what?
But don't do it, kids. It's terrible for you.
At what point? At what point in your life do you reach your point where you're old enough to say, I'm going back to smoking?
Oh, 80. I already said that. I've laid that down. If I live to be 80, I am going to light up a big expensive cigar and smoke that
thing. Just smoke cigarettes.
You betcha.
Until you burn the house.
Why
down.
Not?
I think Suzanne will be out smoking with you.
She's yeah. She'll be out smoking outside the building.
She was smoking, I think, since she was probably 11 or 12. Any event, she quit when she was pregnant with Alex.
There you go.
Because yeah. When you're pregnant, you're not supposed to smoke.
Right.
And she's not smoked since then.
Okay.
She says when she's around someone smoking, she could start immediately.
Yeah.
She said it never goes away for her.
Does she have dreams about it? I have dreams about it still.
About smoking?
Yeah, I'm, in my dreams, I'm smoking.
And you're not 80 in your dreams.
I'm not 80 yet. Yeah. Well, I think most of the dreams where I'm smoking, I'm younger. In your dreams... When you dream, are you the age that you are now when
yes.
You're dreaming?
Yes.
Or do you dream
no.
Younger or dream older?
I'm the age I am now.
I dream the age I am now a lot of times, but I also dream of a younger me. That's almost like, I had dreams of a younger me.
I was thinking about something.
About being younger again?
Let's think about time machines, right?
Yeah.
You know, you think about...
Only old people think of time machines. Young people don't.
But what I'm thinking is that, you know, you see the movie Time Machine or The Time Travelers or whatever. They always climb into some, whether it's a phone booth or a hot tub or a big chair with a wheel behind it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a time machine.
Yeah.
But what if the time... And it transports...
Like that Far Side cartoon where the two professors each have a time machine, but one of them has like an old face clock and the other guy has a digital, and like all the young women are hanging around the guy with the digital time machine.
Well, I'm saying is... It's always that, okay, you're 18 years old, you know, and they go into the future, like Back to the Future with who's the kid in it?
Who's Michael the, J. Fox.
Michael J. Fox. He goes into the future, and he's the same. He's the same age as he is when he goes. But what if what the time machine did was take you, you're 17 years old, and you're at the University of Urbana's Applied Technology Building, and they're testing a time machine. They give you $10 to sit in the machine. And what it does instead is transports you to your older self so that you're 27 years old and you wake up and you're in your 64-year-old body, living that 64-year-old life.
Okay.
Would that...
And the machine gets stuck and you can't get out of it?
No.
Hey, no. I got cheated!
I think I'd look around and go, oh my God, I should have taken better care of myself.
Well, yeah.
Don't you think that? Yeah. And then I'd go through, I think, all the medicines
I've taken that every day. Anyway.
And say, wow, I didn't even know I had a thyroid and I got thyroid problems. I'm taking medicine for that? What are you doing now?
I got something I got to show you because our time's up.
Our time's up.
Yeah, time. Unless you've got some
time machine
that can take us back to the beginning of this program.
I don't.
All right. Make it better.
We might discuss this again some other time. All right. See you later from Rick Gator
and Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. like there are any.